Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon. It is noon central on Monday, and this is the place to be, joining me on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I was on my mastermind call last week, and one of my participants was telling us about a story about a new service that she had just enrolled in. It was with a stylist that she thought she needed some updating with her fashion and chose one stylist over another for a very simple reason. Her comment was, she listened to me and heard my concerns. I felt like we had a connection. And that's what we're going to talk about today, listening and creating an emotional connection. You know, recently I found myself having to repeat things over and over and over again, and not because the person I'm speaking to can't hear me. It's because they're really simply just not listening. And it happens in the most unusual way for me. I ask a question, they respond, except it has nothing to do with the question I ask. So I repeat the question again, and again, the response is long and involved, but has nothing to do with what I ask. And after we play this game of ping pong back and forth, I finally have to let them know that I hear what they're saying, but they're not listening to my question. The bottom line is then, when you don't listen, the perception is that you just don't care. And I, for one, like to know that you care about me and what I'm saying. But sadly, not everyone wants that connection with you. You can see it with the obligatory, how are you, that everyone asks, and most people aren't really that interested. So how can you create the relationship or the emotional connection with someone that's so necessary in business? Well, the easiest and most effective way is, are you ready? Listen. And I really mean listen. But there's more to creating that emotional connection with your customers. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Did you know that when your customers decide to do business with you, over 50% of their reason is based on emotion? You know, we've heard that pleasure and pain, take them to their pain and then provide a solution that brings them pleasure. And this exercise is based on emotion. And the emotional connection can determine how strong their relationship is with you and how long they want to keep it going. In other words, how long they'll remain a customer of yours. Now, I know that every week during our discussions, I talk about building long-term, long-lasting relationships and realizing what makes you unique so you stand out in this crazy, noisy world. But the truth of the matter is that without an emotional connection, your customers can hop from you to your competitor and maybe back and forth a few times. You know, according to a study by Forrester, 89% of consumers felt no personal connection to buy their brand. So what do you think you can do differently to attract customers and just keep them? Well, let me give you a little peek at some of the best examples of emotional connections and see if it doesn't get your mind thinking. And remember, the underlying factor is listening to your customer. Now, everyone knows one of the largest pharmacies is Walgreens. On every other corner, you see a pharmacy popping up, so you know that listening to your customer's needs is crucial and making that emotional connection imperative. Now, Walgreens has really listened to their customers for the past 30 years. They were the ones that originated the drive-through pharmacy and began refilling prescriptions at any location because they wanted to accommodate their busy lifestyle of working parents and overworked people everywhere. And when customers with English as a second language said they couldn't read their prescriptions, Walgreens started printing prescription labels in 14 different languages. And when older customers said that they couldn't read the print on the labels because it was just too hard to read, well, you guessed it, they created large type labels for older customers. Well, here's another one, Wells Fargo. They've created a connection with their customers, and on their website, they display their philosophy. Our success has as much to do with attitude as aptitude, what's in our hearts, not just in our heads. Our success depends on how much our team members care for their customers, for each other, and their communities. It's the most important difference between a great company and a good one. And another great example of sharing the emotional connection with your customer is by letting employees experience it firsthand, such as what they do at the Fairmont San Francisco. This idea is to have new employees get the same penthouse champagne toast that the hotel uses when they're trying to work with new meeting planners. What a great way for an employee to be able to really share what the experience their guest has. So you still need a few more reasons? Okay, how about these facts? When you have that emotional connection with your customer, they are at least 3 times more likely to recommend your company and your products or services. They're 3 times more likely to repurchase from you. They're less likely to shop around. In fact, 44% said they rarely or never shop around. And they're much less price sensitive, because 33% said that they would need a discount of over 20% before they move to a competitor. So let me share some ways to build these connections. And if you already have them, maybe it's time to make the bonds even stronger. Number one, make sure your customer is first. Is the focus on you or your customer? Turn that spotlight onto them. Always make sure it's on them and not on you. Number two, create an experience for your customer. The more you know, the better the experience. Number three, listen. And when you think you are, listen even more. Do you know that what your customers are telling you is really what they're looking for? Are you just making assumptions? Are you connecting with them the way they want to connect? And is your vision, mission, and brand more than just words? Number four, you need to earn your customers' respect. We all know that people do business with those they trust and respect. So are you overpromising and under-delivering, or the other way around? Are you keeping your word? And what makes your business different? Are you making your customers feel special? If you have team members, is there respect there as well? Because you can only behave with what you know and live. Your most loyal customers will be the ones that keep you in business, both financially as well as in wisdom. They'll provide you with feedback if you ask. They want to give you their experiences with you and your company. They're the ones that can and will become your walking ambassadors and share your brilliance with others. So before we bring in my guests who have some solid emotional connections with their clients, let me briefly tell you two important ways to have relationships with yours. The first, and if you couldn't figure it out, is by listening. Yes, I've said it multiple times already. You have to listen to your customers. What do you like? What are their concerns? Get their feedback through surveys and phone calls and social media or however they like to share their information. A fabulous product that you spend time and money on that isn't what your customers want is a waste of your time and your money. Listen to them. They know what they want and need, and if you ask, they'll tell you in their words. And second, loyalty. One of the goals you should have considered in your business is developing customer loyalty. Many companies have added a customer loyalty program, thanking their existing customers by offering either additional products at lower prices or giving them points to use for products that they might want to use at their discretion. People love to get gifts, no matter the reason. Receiving them because they are loyal makes it that much sweeter. Remember, an emotional connection is an important tool. As Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. When we come back, you'll hear from my first expert who will talk about having an emotional connection. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can join our discussion and talk to our amazing guests by calling in to 347-989-1363. Press 1 and you'll get right onto our show. Okay, so it's time for my first guest, Randy Cena. Randy has held senior level marketing and communication positions in corporate America for almost 2 decades. And since 2007 runs Affordable Marketing Solutions, LLC, a small business marketing consultancy. She served on the board of directors of the Direct Marketing Association of Orange County, California as their membership chair. And she has authored the book, Affordable Marketing Solutions, Proven Techniques to Profitably Market Your Small Business, something we all need. When she's not working with clients, she teaches marketing and communication courses at colleges in the New York City metropolitan area and conducts marketing seminars for entrepreneurs. So, Ms. Randy, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on board, and I can't wait to dig into our discussion.
Oh, thank you, Judy. It's a pleasure.
Yes, it's going to be so much fun, and it's nice to have a Northeasterner on the line with me.
So do you miss the snow?
No. We have snow and ice in Dallas, so no, I don't miss it at all. I just miss people sometimes. So let's jump in. Today's discussion is about listening to your customer, creating an emotional connection. And as an entrepreneur and a coach and a consultant, what would be the reason to create this connection other than the obvious money?
Well, you know, I'll quote what you just said. People do business with people they like and trust. And I think it's really, really important, especially for what I do. I get so close to a customer's life and business. It really almost becomes an intimate connection with my clients. And I have to say, over these, you know, 7 or 8 years, I've become friends, personal friends with most of my clients. And I'm delighted to say that the relationship went in that direction. It really is a very personal connection when you're working with someone one-on-one like I do. And it is important. Everything you say is so right on.
Okay, so you talk about having someone's best interest at heart. And is that the job of someone's spouse or a best friend or a coach or a business colleague or a combo? Because I know a lot of my friends that are, you know, are entrepreneurs and their spouse is not in the business, but they use them as a sounding board. And that can be a little scary in a relationship. So what do you suggest or who do you suggest?
Well, I say talk to me because, you know, I do have my clients' best interests at heart. One of the advantages, I think, of working with myself or someone like myself is that I'm a neutral third party. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not selling you a service. I'm not selling you ad space. I'm not selling you any particular thing. I'm putting together a plan or strategically working with you so that you can make the best decisions. And I have saved many, many clients many times from making bad decisions because they were sold by someone who cold called them with this great idea and turns out, well, maybe it's not for them after all. So sometimes I have to talk people down from the cliff, if you will.
Right.
But
absolutely.
It's you know, I'm a neutral third party. I liken what I do to being a general contractor in construction. I come in, I assess the project, I help you build. In this case, it's your marketing, and then you need an electrician, I get you the equivalent. You need, you know, a plumber, I get you the equivalent. You need, you know, a stonemason, I get you the equivalent in marketing. So I'm able, through my connections, to be able to build a network of proven professionals so that you don't have to go and vet every single task that needs to be done, because I've got that network already built, and I have multiples of each, so I can tell you who is best for you to do business with for your budget or your time frame or specific expertise.
You sent me a quote that you use, and you said, if you think it's expensive to hire a professional, wait till you hire an amateur. Yep. And so is that the purpose of you vetting people so they don't get caught into that trap of just somebody that sounds good and has all the bells and whistles but doesn't really have any substance?
Well, it's that, plus it's also trying to do it yourself, or thinking, especially with social media, I hear this at least once a week. Well, you know, my 18-year-old son or my 20-year-old cousin or my nephew or my niece can do my Facebook page. Yeah, they probably can set it up for you, but do you really want them taking ambassadorship of your brand and your messaging? Do you trust their grammar, their spelling? Are they using the right trigger words in marketing? You know, so again, sometimes somebody will go for 6 months and they'll say, well, my fill in the blank is doing my social media. That's one example. Another example is, well, you know, I have a friend that does art. Or they're a painter, so that they can create my logo. And then 6 months go by, and the logo never happens, or they're not happy with it, and then everything is waiting. You can't do your brochure, your website, your anything until your logo is done. So, you know, it's you get me, you can start marching forward, within a week, or whenever you and I actually sit down and hash things out. It's quick, and it's usable. It's absolutely usable starting tomorrow. You're not going to waste any time, and you're certainly not going to waste any budget, which is a really big thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so you're basically building a connection with them, and they're trusting you because you're doing vetting and you're recommending and so on and so forth. Do you think that having this emotional connection, do you think that women are more likely to develop an emotional connection than men are? Either with either as a provider or the person that's looking to buy services, are we more likely to?
Question. And I actually I teach a business communication course at a local college, and we just talked about this in class on Saturday. And it's interesting because my students were curious as to who I prefer to do business with, men or women. And I have to say, over the years, I've been about 50-50, and maybe it's because of the way that I communicate. I don't have a preference, and I don't necessarily think that there is a difference in the way I connect with my clients. But what I can say is that women are far more likely to say, well, I don't know if this is the right thing, or they take longer to make a decision. They aren't as brave as men are or as bold as men tend to be. They're a little bit slower in some of the decisions that need to be made, or launching a new product or approving things. I don't know why that is. I'm not that way, so I'm not really sure why that is, but that is one difference that I have noticed over these years.
Well, I think that part of it is, Randy, I think part of it really is about collaboration. If I was going to come to you and I say, you know, I really need a great graphic artist, or I really need a great this or whatever, and you give me someone who now I have a connection with and they present something to me, I'm going to ask somebody else, one of my friends and my colleagues, and say, hey, you just had a logo done. What do you think about this? So I think they take more time because they bring more people into the whole process. But with that said, you know, it's also about getting your message out, getting the marketing out. How important is it to get your message out? And it's not just getting your name out. It's about the whole what you're offering. How important is that? And do you think that in addition to a business plan, there should be a marketing plan?
I'll answer the second question first. Yes, you absolutely need a marketing plan. It addresses specifically the steps that you are going to take to make sure that your overall business plan is successful. Because one of the quotes I'm known for saying is, marketing today keeps you in business for tomorrow. Marketing is the only thing, and marketing as an umbrella, it includes sales, it includes advertising, it includes digital, it includes on and offline strategy, it includes everything, marketing as the umbrella, promotion and everything. But without marketing, you are not bringing money in the door at all. You know, people know that they need a lawyer, or they know that they need an accountant, and they know that they need their IT guy to save them from, disaster. which happens to all of us. It happened to me a few months ago. But marketing seems to be the thing that people say, oh, I can do that. Yeah, I can put up a Facebook page. Or I can write my website. Well, you can, but I guarantee you it's not going to rank. And I guarantee you it is not going to be what it should be for your success. So to me, marketing is the, now, okay, and I'm partial. I admit that. But marketing is the most important business function. Because if you have a retail store, you can't pay your rent unless you're bringing money in. You can't pay your lawyer unless you're bringing money in. Your accountant will have nothing to account for unless you're bringing money in. So in my opinion, you have to think of marketing before you think of anything else. Because unless you know exactly who your audience or plural audiences are, you can't speak to them, and you can't create that emotional connection with them. You may not be able to find them or reach them. There's a lot of fragmentation now online with so many choices of ways. But there's also the offline world. Lots of fragmentation there, lots of audience dissension. And unless you really, really know who your audience is, you're just simply not – you're going to be spinning your wheels in all of your marketing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's interesting because when I wrote my second book, which is called Famous Isn't Enough, and it was all about the mistakes an entrepreneur makes, you know, in my commercial that I always use, it's like, if you build it, they will come. If that's what you're thinking, do you think that's going to happen? Well, of course it isn't. So what do you think about that? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs, even if they start with their own, you know, some marketing, they just think, okay, I put it out there, so now –
They sit back and wait.
right. So what do you tell people?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just wrote an article called A Tale, T-A-I-L, of two pet stores. I live in an area where two pet stores opened at just about the same time, a few miles away from each other, one in one direction, one in the other. One, I went in there. There's never any cars in the parking lot. They had a great location. You'd go in there, and they would say that they would be open, and you'd pull on the door. It was locked. They weren't there. I once brought my cat to have her mani-pedi done there because she said, oh, just come on in. Well, you know what it's like to get a cat in a carrier? And they're closed, okay? So needless to say, the store failed. It's now a deli. Okay, great location. The deli is always busy. Good for them. Mazel tov for you. So on the other hand, this other pet store, constantly, weekly emails. I sign up for their email newsletter. The store is always crowded. They have a worse location, a smaller parking lot. People will actually wait to get a spot there. Their store is consistent. Their hours, they're staffed. They're amazing people. And in fact, they were featured in a movie last year with Diane Keaton. They were scouted, and there's a scene in the movie, I forget the name, but they were used in a movie, which is a great PR, right? I mean, they emailed everybody, we're going to be in this movie. Sorry, we have to close on Monday, but we're filming a movie. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, yeah, you built it, but they didn't come because you were inconsistent and you didn't do the right things. And the other store tried really, really hard because they had a bad location or not as good location. And they're doing phenomenal. They offer clinics. They bring in veterinarians. They have talks. They have dog days, cat days, photos with Santa. I mean, they're promoting all over the place, and they are so successful. So to me, the biggest difference, the supplies, the leashes, the food, you know, those kinds of things were pretty much the same inventory. It was all the difference in how they approached their marketing and that they were consistent and believed in it.
And they also listen to what their clients needed, and they have emotional connections. So that wraps this whole thing up in that, which I think that's part of the marketing is when you listen, you are, you know, having this connection with your clients. I just think it's all connected. But I want to ask you a question because I know you have a new program that's coming out. And I know that as an entrepreneur, marketing sometimes is the hardest thing to do. You think it's easy, but it's not easy. So talk to us about the program that you have that's called My Affordable Marketing Plan. Tell us about it and you know, who it's for and how we get involved in it.
Okay. The reason that I created this product is because, well, two reasons. One is, you know, for many, many years when I worked in financial services, I built and ran multi-million dollar club, membership clubs. And I thought, you know, maybe it's time I do one for myself. Maybe. And the other reason is, most often what I hear is, if you spend an hour with me, I have this service called a marketing session. You pay me for an hour, we get on the phone, you better have a lot of ink in your pen and your pencil sharpened. I will give you a billion ideas and things that you should do. Great. Now you hang up the phone and you say, oh my, I don't have the staff, I don't have the time, I don't. How am I going to do this, right? So the best ideas, you know, left uncompleted are kind of a waste of everybody's time. So my service, my membership plan is starts at $99 a month for 1 hour of my time per month. It automatically renews on your credit card, and you kind of come into the fold. So it's like a 1, 3, or a 5 hour plan per month, and it's easy. You just get on my roster, my membership roster, special email newsletter to those people. I've also negotiated a number of discounts with a whole range of suppliers and people that I do business with. So I have on the one side the members, on the other side the benefit providers. And, you know, I sort of act as a funnel to them to bring business to them. The members save money, and I give them a discounted rate for my time because I'm not invoicing, I'm not chasing checks. It's just automatically, you know, thanks to all these wonderful software programs, I'm able to do that. So it's a great solution for everyone because they need the help and they don't have the time and they don't necessarily have the money. And sometimes, you know, you just want to pick up the phone and ask a quick question. Or what do I do? Or what do you think? Or can you, you know, can you please read my brochure copy before I go to print? Or I want to do this newsletter, you know, can you make sure that it makes sense and all that other stuff? So this way I'm kind of on call. It's on-demand marketing.
And you don't have to be, you know, local. You can do it anywhere.
Right, exactly. Oh, I have clients all over the country. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and I'm saying that, I mean, that makes the most sense because there's people listening that will say, well, you know, I don't live in the Northeast, so how am I going to see you? But you don't need to. You could be anywhere. How do they find out more information about the program?
It's myaffordablemarketing.com is my website, and on the homepage, a modal will pop up, and then it'll click you right through to the page. I'm obviously also on, you know, various social media, or they can email me through my website. If somebody contacts me through and mentions this show, I'm happy to give them something, a discount or something.
I'll give you something. I promise I'll give you something.
I'll give you something.
All right. We'll make sure that all of your information is out there already, and I'm pretty sure Tony's already putting it out there, so we're good. Okay,
great.
So you know we're going to run out of time pretty soon, so my question is, what do you want our listeners to take away from all of this?
Prioritize your marketing. I mean, it really is the only way to bring money in the door. It's the single most important business function. The problem is most entrepreneurs come from a corporate or a big office kind of background where they had a marketing department and they didn't have to deal with it. Well, now you do. So, you know, and you have to. I mean, there's just simply no way around it. You could be the best architect, but if you're sitting in your office not telling anybody that you're the best architect, you've got a problem because you don't have any clients.
Yeah, I do remember when I started my company, I remember distinctly thinking, okay, I've got to do a brochure. I wonder what Tom is doing. And I thought, oh, wait, he's in corporate.
Right.
I could just pick up the phone and he would do something for me, but you can't because you have to wear all these hats. So, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, Randy, what's next for you?
Oh, gosh. Hopefully. Planning on writing another book. I've just done the outline for that. I've got some speaking engagements lined up. I am working on working with an entrepreneurship foundation here in Connecticut, working with students. So it's lots of very exciting things happening in the field of small business startups.
Awesome.
Keeping me busy.
You bet. And I am coming to Connecticut to speak in May, so I will let you know when I'll be there. So you can
let me know. Let me know. I'd love to meet you in person.
Absolutely. Well, Randy, thank you so much for spending time with me today. Marketing is something that I hope everyone understands how important it is and how it reflects the needs of your customers and helps they connected to them. So thanks for all your brilliance, and we will direct everybody to your website.
Thank you very much, Judy, and have a great day.
You too. And we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsor, The Report for Women, an important resource for women in business. You can check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com. Subscription is free, and they've got some great articles that will automatically update all on their own. So if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, become one of our sponsors and go to www.sellinginaskirtwithjudyholberman.com. Click on the sponsor tab and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Holberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in the Skirt with Judy Holberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, this is the time where I remind you to get connected with us. This is the way that you can stay in contact with all of our wonderful hosts and guests and figure out what they're doing next. So for me, the easiest way to gain access is like me on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt, connect with me as a friend at Judy Holberman on Facebook. You can be my friend. You can find me on Twitter and connect with me there at Selling in a Skirt. And don't forget, you can also listen to all my shows on iTunes simply by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyholberman.com and click on the icon, and there we be. Okay, so time for my second guest, Todd Novak. Todd is a speaker, a trainer, a coach, and an author. He founded the Novak Group out of his passion for helping companies and individuals improve communication, motivation, customer service, and increasing sales. With 41 years of experience, 41, you look like a baby, starting his first business at the age of 9, there we go, Todd is considered a top sales and communication expert. He was AOL's number one salesperson and holds the national sales record out of 50,000 people. His powerful, entertaining, passionate message engages all audiences. His clients include organizations like Microsoft, Comcast, Ford, Liberty Mutual, USA Today, State Farm Insurance, YWCA, and many, many others. So welcome to the show, Todd. We have a lot to chat about.
Thanks, Judy, for having me.
I am excited. Okay, so let's start out with our theme of the day. I was talking about listening and having that emotional connection in your business. Tell me what you think about having a connection, this emotional connection with your clients. Is it something that is necessary, or can you get away without it?
It depends how long you want to be in business, you know, and if you want to have clients. I mean, obviously, there has to be an emotional connection. What I like to call is the human connection. If you're not making the human connection with somebody, they're definitely not going to be your client very long. Most likely, won't even become your client to begin with.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, so is someone's experience different when there's an emotional connection created, or is it something that, you know, I mean, is it a two-way street? Is it something that they have to put forth something as well?
Well, I mean, emotional connection takes work. It takes effort. So I think it's one of those things that just doesn't automatically happen. And it's not about being this outgoing, crazy, you know, peacock, you know, salesperson or business owner. That's not really emotional connection. Emotional connection is really finding out what that person really is connecting with, and more importantly, what's important to them. What's their motivation? Why do they wake up in the morning? Why do they have their business? What are they trying to achieve? What are their goals? What are their desires? Really learning to get into their head and making it more about them and not about you.
Okay, so you're really trying to get to the why as the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, why is part of it, absolutely, but more importantly, getting to know that person. I mean, I think there's this surface level of people, and when you meet them, like there's this certain information they're willing to give everybody, but if you want to make that emotional connection, you got to drive a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. Okay, so let me talk about you. I like to brag about you. And as I mentioned in your bio, your company was formed to help improve communication and increase sales. Now, we all know that most people do not like sales. They just don't. They feel slimy and not authentic. So what would be the number one way you can help people to improve those communication skills so, in turn, they also increase their sales?
Well, I think sales, I don't know, you know, unfortunately, it does have a bad reputation. It has a negative connotation in some people's mind. But quite honestly, you know, anytime we buy anything in life, anywhere, whatever product or service that we currently like or buy, you know, from Whole Foods or from, you know, our favorite department store or whatever, somebody had to sell that product or service to that company in order for you to buy it. So sales happen all the time. I mean, without a sale, none of us would have any products or service we want. So if you kind of think about it, sales isn't really a bad thing. Just because there's been a few people out there that have done some, you know, shady things or done some things that maybe aren't ethical doesn't mean that sales is bad. Because quite honestly, without a sale, nothing happens in life.
That's true. And, you know, as far as you go, you know, when I tell my when my clients come to me and they say, you know, help me improve my closing ratio or whatever, I tell them the first thing they should stop doing is selling and start communicating with a conversation. So you are AOL's number one salesperson. What made that happen, and why does it happen? You must be doing something different than most salespeople. So what is it that you're doing? Or maybe it isn't. Maybe it's something that we're all doing, we just don't need it.
Well, you know, it's a great question. I mean, when I sat back years ago, over, you know, decades ago, and said, what are the two things that I always do? Because, you know, if I'm going to really help salespeople, most salespeople are ADD, you know, they're all over the place. They're 1 minute they're here, next minute they're somewhere else. Their attention span isn't the greatest. And so I have to come up with two simple steps. I can't have 10 steps. I can't have 15 steps. I have to have two simple steps. So I said, what are the two things that I always do? And so my first step is very simple. I have to determine the communication or personality style of the person I'm talking to. That, to me, is the most important thing, because if I can recognize that, now I can communicate effectively with that person how they want to receive information rather than forcing my communication style on people. Because in reality, what most of us do without even realizing it is we have a certain way we like to communicate. It's a habit. We all have it. And what we end up doing through our lives or on a daily basis is we literally force that communication style on people without even realizing it. And what happens is some personality styles love us and other ones don't connect with us. And so the first goal is find out who's in front of you. What is that communication style that person's in front of you? And let's make sure we're connecting with them how they want to be connected with. So that's kind of my first step. Because, again, we all hear from everybody. We buy from people we like. But the real question is, how do we get people to like us?
Right. Right.
You know, and then my trick or my step or my success or what I like to train people on is let's make sure we know who we're in front of. Let's make it about them, not about us. So step one in my, you know, process is determine the personality type of the person you're talking to. And then the second step is very simple. Find the motivation on why they'll buy. People buy for their reasons, not yours. They don't buy for the last five people that bought from you. Everybody has reasons why they want to buy from you. And so I tell a simple story, but it's simply this. If you ask enough questions and you write down enough motivations that people give you, you'll eventually come up with the way to close somebody. And the problem with most salespeople is this. They hear one motivation from a prospect that they know is a reason why they need to buy their product or service. And then what they immediately do is they think, oh, now it's time to close. And they start closing on that person, and they, like, force their communication on them, or they force the close on them. And what they're doing is they're actually putting that person on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than keeping them on the offense. So what I like to teach is, let's make sure we have at least five motivations on why that person would buy my product or service first, then formulate our close based on those five reasons, because if I'm closing based on their reasons, it's really hard for someone to disagree with me or not buy from me because I'm using their reasons.
Right, and if you get to use the language that they're saying to you in their words, it's much more powerful, but that requires you to listen. That is the secret.
Well, you know, I kind of have a rule of thumb. It's kind of tough when you're on the radio, but when I'm selling to somebody or I'm visiting with somebody, you know, you need to talk about 20% of the time and make sure they're talking 80% of the time. And if it's the other way around, then you're not connecting.
Absolutely. But this is my time to brag on you. So we get to move that around here.
But, I mean, okay. I'll give you an example. I was doing a training years ago, and it was for radio. Now, radio is kind of a tough thing to sell, in my opinion, especially these days with internet radio and, you know, music you can download. But there was like 20 salespeople in there, and this new girl was in there that was a new salesperson. And she said, look, Todd, you're the sales expert. You know, help me. They're sending me to this guy that has 10 dealerships. He's never bought radio from anybody, and I think they just want me to practice. What do you recommend I do? I just gave her my two steps to selling, and I figured, you know, the first step may take her a little while to master. I said, look, this is all I want you to do. When you're in front of him, just ask him questions, listen to him, let him control the conversation, let him talk. But I want you to write down five motivations, and when you hear those five motivations, I want you to formulate your close and then see what happens. He says, okay, I'll do it. So later on that afternoon, I was doing a large training for about 500 people, and she was in the audience. And I'm very interactive in my training, so I let people talk or, you know, raise their hand or come up or whatever. And I see her waving in the back of the room when I'm in the middle of talking my two steps of selling. And I see her, and I said, yes. She goes, do you remember me? I said, of course I do. She goes, well, can I tell you what happened on my meeting earlier? And part of me was like, oh, I don't know if I want her to say what happened. And part of me is like, I want to know what happened. So she says, I said, sure, come on up. So she says, well, I did what you said. I told, you know, I waited for him to have five motivations. I closed with that, and this is what he said to me. He said, you're the first person to actually make sense to me why I should buy a radio, so I'm going to buy a radio today. And the reason why it made sense is because they weren't closing with all this data or all this information or all these things that they were told to do. They were closing with what was important to that individual because they actually listened.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, listening is so critical, and most people are not listening. Most people are already on the next thing of how they're going to respond. And so, I mean, that just kind of like blows the whole theory. But let me ask you a question. You hold a national sales rep for over 50,000 people. So, number one, who counted the people? And number two, what did you have to do?
Well, a very interesting story is back in 2000, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to go underground to a large corporation and prove that my techniques would work in a call center environment. So I chose AOL because in 2000 they were the biggest and the best. I didn't tell them what I did for a living, and it's a long story, but I'll do it very shortly, that they hired me and they put me in what's called the saves department. Now, the saves department is someone calls up and says, I want to, you know, cancel my you-know-what account. They're not exactly the nicest people when they call up. And so what I simply did was I had a system, but I would listen to people. I tried to find out why they were really, you know, wanting to cancel. And the best sales record they had, or closing record, or saves rate they called it, was like 60%. My first month I was 77%. My second month I was 90%. And by my third month I was like 92%. I had like six 100% days where I had 80 calls in one day and nobody canceled on me. So I went to the GM and I said, by the way, this is what I do for a living. You know, I just want to see if my techniques work. By the way, you have 350 people just here locally that would love to learn what I do. You might want to consider hiring me. And so they did.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. And it's a great title to have. And, boy, if that is not a vote of confidence for people to be involved with you, I think this great. So congratulations to you.
Yeah, well, thanks. It was one of those things, you know, as and I know you do a lot of sales training yourself and you're a sales expert. You know, it's one thing to have that title. It's another thing to back it up and prove it. And I think that's what, you know, I know you've done very well at that. I know myself has, because when the rubber meets the road, can you really increase my sales? You know, companies pay me on a monthly basis to continue to grow their sales. And it's simply this: if I continue to produce sales for them, they continue to pay me monthly my fee. If I don't, guess what? My monthly fee goes away. So I'm highly motivated to prove what works. And salespeople, to me, I love them. You know, they're just, to me, I'm passionate about it. I love helping salespeople. There's very few things I get more passionate about, except maybe my wife.
Yeah. I always find it funny when I'm in a sales environment and somebody's trying to sell me something and I watch their technique and they've never asked me a question about what I even want or why I want it. And I'm thinking, well, really? And sometimes I'll come in and I'll say, you know, I'm a sales trainer. And they get like, oh, my God, was I okay? Like, yeah, no.
Okay, I was going to ask you that because that's my favorite moment, Judy, is when I'm in front of somebody and they're somewhere, they realize that they didn't, like, ask about me. And then they start saying, so what do you do for a living? And I say, oh, I'm a sales expert. And they're like, and you just total silence usually. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you've probably been analyzing everything I've done. And I said, yeah, I do that with everybody, but don't take it personally. They're like, well, how do I do? What do you suggest? And then I end up going into a long conversation and helping them out. So,
okay.
Or compliment them how great they did.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, I'm a gender expert, so my husband will always say after he has a conversation with a woman, he'll say, did I do okay? So
nice.
This brings me to women. One of the concerns women have in sales is that they want to be authentic and they don't want to be considered salesy. So you as a sales expert, you had said, you know, to me, you said that you believe women are not as good, but you think that they're better than men in sales. So how do you get
Honestly, there's a lot of reason why women are better and there's a lot of stats out there to prove it. You know, people want – women have a automatic way about them to be authentic and, more importantly, to be compassionate and be really ethical, and they come across that way. In fact, about 10 years ago, in all places, China, they didn't have hardly any women salespeople in the car industry because, you know, just that culture just doesn't, you know, say women should do that. Well, Toyota decided to do a test with women, and the women were outselling the men. So they, as a culture in Toyota, made a decision in China to actually hire more women because they realized that people's guards were down. They were willing to have more sincere conversations. They didn't feel like someone was trying to take advantage of them. And then my personal opinion is I think women would rather do business with women on a lot of levels, and I think men, you know, for different reasons, would rather do business with women too. So I think women have a big advantage. If they're professional and they can prove what they do and they have the knowledge, I think they're great. Now, the only weakness a woman has that I found out, but it's very easy to overcome, is and I hate to say all women, so I'll say most women, are usually not good at closing because they're so compassionate and caring that they're not really strong closers. So what I love to do is when I coach women is I teach them to be great closers, and they'll outsell men every time.
Right, and I call those women Vicky Visitor because they're so busy building relationships that they forget that in sales it still comes down to closing. So, yeah,
right.
I totally agree with you. So, do you think that women have or need to have an emotional connection with their clients to be successful?
Oh, well, I think they automatically do. I think that's the nature of a woman. I mean, I think they automatically do that, and they do it extremely well. I think that's what the men on this, you know, radio show right now could learn from, is look at how women connect and look how they talk to each other and look at how they get excited and they have a great time and, you know, they can have fun just chit-chatting a glass of wine and, you know, they don't need much else. Because they're making that emotional connection. They care about each other. They care about their children and their families and their work and what's going on. And, you know, that's kind of the drama that goes along with it too, but that's part of the emotional connection.
Yeah. So what do you think it takes to actually be a professional salesperson?
Wow. What does it take to be a professional salesperson?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big question. I think there's a lot of things. I think one is desire.
Right.
I think you have to really have the desire to be a salesperson because not everybody has that desire. And you have to learn that once you have that desire, It's probably one of the easiest slash toughest things to do. It's easy from the standpoint of we make it very difficult in our heads because it's so mental. But once we get past the mental side of it, we get our minds right, we can sell successfully. So I'm real big on health and fitness because I think that is really helps your mental state, and you need to have the energy. I mean, I know you're a speaker yourself. I mean, when my clients hire me to go speak, they don't want to hear, oh, you know what, thank you for hiring me, you know, for, you know, 10,000, 15,000 for my keynote today. But, you know, I'm not quite feeling the greatest right now today, so I'm going to give you about 80%. Hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they don't want to hear that. I mean, we have to show up and give our best. And how do we do that is we have to take care of ourselves. So I think one of the things as a sales professional, you have to be on your game. And you have to be physically strong. You have to be emotionally strong. You have to be reading the right books. You got to be going to seminars. You got to be going to events. You got to be listening to audios on digital audios. You got to be hanging out with people more successful than you. I mean, you have to be mentally strong because you're taking the arrows all day. You're taking a lot of negativity. I have a client right now that I helped their, you know, six salespeople. Kind of like a pseudo sales manager. It's one of the things that we do for companies, but they're DUI attorneys. And so, you know, people are calling up because they got a DUI. I mean, how positive or exciting is that call?
Right.
You know, not, right? But at the end of the day, they got to ask them for, you know, $7,000 in a 45-minute phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to trust them over the phone and get them to like them and understand that they're the right fit. And someone's calling up in a very negative situation. So, again, you know, for them, I tell them you got to be mentally strong. You're gonna hear a lot of negativity all day long. You have to be the source of positivity. You have to be the one that, you know, has the hope.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so I want to change gears just for a moment, and I want you to talk to us about your book, Has Technology Left Us Speechless? Who is it for? What made you sit down and write it, and where do we get it?
Well, I think the most easiest way to answer that would be I had so many clients of mine very frustrated that they were hiring these salespeople and they weren't able to communicate. They weren't able to sell. They were great, like you doing some quick emails or doing texting, but it came down to that face-to-face communication. They just didn't have it. And I started looking at it. I said, are we losing the art of communication? And now it's into all generations, not just the younger generations, it's older generations. And so I began to do a lot of research and study on this. And what I realized is technology, again, I have to say this, I love technology. I'm kind of geeky in some ways, but at the same time, I can put my technology down for a day or a half a day or 3 hours and have a face-to-face conversation, not look at my phone every, you know, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book that will just probably blow your mind, and most people go, really, that happens? They interviewed HR managers, and they say, what are some of the top things that you're seeing, you know, in why college kids aren't getting hired? Like, what's going on in the interview process? You know, because you hear about all these college kids, 50% of college graduates aren't getting hired in the workforce. Now, my personal opinion is that they don't know how to sell themselves in the interview process. Now, mm-hmm. what these HR managers said actually backs up my theory was this is what they said. Now, these are some of the common things. You might go, common, really? So here's a few of them. Texting in the middle of the interview.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the common things. Bringing a pet with them.
What?
Bringing their mom or dad with them in the interview.
Hey, it doesn't even make sense to me. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, I'm sure it's true. It doesn't even make sense.
I know. It's a total disconnect. You're just thinking like, okay, so you're like joking, Todd. I'm like, no, I'm not joking. These are some of the things that they're having issues with. So you wonder why this younger generation and people are addicted to technology are not getting hired because they don't know how to sell themselves. They're not connecting with that person that's going to hire them. And if you're not connecting with them, you might have a great resume and that might get you into the interview, but it's not going to get you hired.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to run out of time, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows where to connect with you and you know, where to stay connected and where to get your book.
Yeah, so the book's pretty simple. We do have a Kindle version that just came out, so if some people are into the, you know, Kindle version, they can obviously just, you know, go to Amazon and do that. We haven't released the hardcover or the softcover on Amazon yet because we're working on some final details with them. I didn't like their printing. So we just got our first shipment of books for pre-orders in, and we've been shipping those out. So they can go either to toddnovak.com, T-O-D-N-O-V-A-K.com, or technologyspeechless.com. And again, the book is not a knock on technology. It's to help people create balance between technology and actually face-to-face communication. And one thing I want to give you everyone a tip on, I don't know how much time we have, but think of, just try this. Try turning your phone off 30 minutes to an hour before you go to bed. There's so much data out there that says that you'll sleep better. But more importantly, if you use your phone as an alarm clock, why not think about getting an actual alarm clock? Turn off your phone. Don't use that as an excuse. And I know if your listeners are very honest with themselves, I would say 99% of them, probably the first thing when they wake up, they grab their phone. And what happens is once you grab your phone, that phone is going to dictate to you what you're going to do that day. So one of the tips in the book is, you know what, don't grab your phone right away. Keep it off for 30 minutes. Keep it off for 15 minutes, for an hour. That becomes your time. Your time to, you know, read a good book, say, talk to your spouse, talk to your kids, pray, meditate, whatever that you do. Almost like you're on a vacation. It's kind of like being able to take a vacation every day. But once you turn that phone on, now that phone is dictating what you do that day.
Yeah, and I actually wrote statistics that it's the average person looks at their phone at least 100 times a day.
Well, do you know how many hours a day the average person looks at a screen? Now, a screen meaning TV, computer, and cell phone?
5.5 hours.
No, the average. This is just average, 12 hours a day.
That's horrible.
That's average.
Because
if you think about how long you look, how many times you look at your phone, you look at a computer screen, you look at television, it's a minimum 12 hours.
Right. Okay. All right, Todd. Well, we've got to go before we cut you off totally because the time will be out. And I want to just thank you so much for sharing the mic with me. And I look forward to staying connected and keeping up with each other, others' adventures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I am going to wrap up the show with just a couple of thoughts about what happens when you lose a customer, why did it happen, and how do you win them back? So an emotional connection is still what we all strive for and what will keep our business growing. But when you lose that connection, what happens? So a study by Marketing Metrics says you have a 60 to 70% chance of successfully selling again to a current customer, a 20 to 40% chance of winning back an ex-customer, and a 5 to 20% chance of turning a prospect into a customer. So think about this. Number one, decide if you even want them back, because not every customer is an ideal customer. If the customer you lost was difficult to work with, then they may not be a good customer to have anyway. The best thing you can do at that point is to make sure that they're leaving happy and that they'll continue to refer you. The second, find out exactly why they left. If they are a customer that you want back, find out what it was that made them turn away. The number one reason is probably price. And if that's the reason, chances are they didn't see the value that you offer. So ask them a few more questions to find out what you could have done to help them stay rather than help them walk away. And while you may not get them back, you'll still have the information you can use for later on for another customer who may be thinking of leaving. Even you can make a mistake. And if you did, recognize you did and see if you can rectify it. Now, they can give you their thoughts, and they could still not stay, but their customer will appreciate that if you stepped up to the plate, who knows, they might come back at some point. Don't take any of your customers for granted. You have to work every single day to earn their loyalty. So build the relationship by asking questions, cement the relationship by listening, and do what you can to create an emotional connection for your customer. Remember, an emotionally connected customer is a more profitable customer. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at Noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in the Skirt with Judy Hoverman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoverman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.